If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the Divine Presence, that is your own authentic self, that omnipresent love that simply is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Keys to Grounding Yourself in Being, Bliss, and Present Awareness. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the anointing of your holy self to clothe and mantle your mind, your thoughts, your inner energy field, your physical shell. Let it flow through all of the nerve endings, all 72,000 nerve channels that flow your solific life force throughout your physical biosphere. And the subtle channels of energy that flow into your subtle bodies. And that which is beyond form itself that flows you in omnipresence. Omnipresence. That's a thought to have some tea with, huh? We are immortal, omnipresent life. We're everywhere. Consider that there is no, what could we say? Quark throughout existence that you are not present. The you I'm speaking of is not that which has been positioned erroneously between a birth and a death. It is not positioned in time and space. It is not finding a limited position anywhere. All of those misidentifications have been imported through conditioning and learning until everything you've been taught, you need to toss it out. At least question it. Because if it's born of thought, it is born of illusion. So, we'll start with a reading from Sai Baba. What is the reason for the duality that we see in the phenomenal world? Someone asked. Sai Baba answered, all the dualities that we see in the phenomenal world are the creations solely of the mind. It is only when we have the mind that we see all the differences or dualities in creation. We cherish the mind and give more attention to it rather than engaging ourselves in self-inquiry or Atma Vicharana. When we engage in self-inquiry, we will find that existence is one. Ekam Sat. When does one have real freedom? The question was positioned. The answer? One has real freedom when the mind is destroyed. However, in absolute terms, existence is one. And hence the word freedom is out of place in this context. What is samadhi? The question was raised. Merging the mind in the Atma, the spirit alone, is samadhi. In the state of samadhi, one does not experience duality. Samadhi means samadhi. This means equal-mindedness, seeing the one, and only the one. In the state of samadhi, there will be no trace of such differences as pleasure and pain, gain and loss, virtue and sin, or prakriti, matter, and paramatma, supreme spirit. This alone is the essence of equal-mindedness, or samadhi. Samadhi is swabhava, the very nature of the divine self. So what is the best spiritual practice, the best sadhana that we can practice? Answer. Everything is in us alone. The best spiritual practice we can engage in is to remove the obstruction, namely the ignorance that prevents the manifestation of the divinity already present within. No teacher or guru can bring about and bring out what is not already within. Our spiritual practice must therefore be directed primarily to annihilating the mind, which prevents the manifestation of the divinity already present within us. What is the relationship between the mind and thought? The question was raised. Mind and thought are dependent on each other. As long as the mind is there, we cannot escape from thoughts of various kinds. If there is no mind there, there will be no thoughts. And similarly, if there are no thoughts, there will be no mind. The mind can be said to be simply a bundle of thoughts. If one goes, the other automatically disappears. Why have we forgotten our divinity? One asked. Divinity is ever present in us, but we have forgotten it. Why did we forget? We have forgotten our divinity because of our wrong identification of ourselves with our body. So, I was pondering deeply upon how to share with you how to ground yourself in a way that you can take it beyond the physical body, so that when you pass from this particular physical dream body, you will not lose that sense of yourself. And I was practicing all week and looking at various ways I could share this with you to where it would be simple. And I think I found it. So I'm going to share it. And having said that, for many years I have said that I don't think. And I simply stated it as a fact, not to make some sort of claim, because I didn't really even consider it to be spiritual or the dissolution of the mind. I didn't even think about it because I don't think. So what am I speaking about when I say I don't think? I stay in a state of observation. I watch, but I have absolutely no thoughts going through my mind. I'm not trying to figure anything out. I'm not trying to seek anything. I'm not trying to make anything happen. I'm not judging, evaluating, or critiquing anything whatsoever that passes before my eyes. My head is entirely empty. Now, I have an extremely good mind of the higher quality, which is called the buddhi, or the higher intellect, the creative consciousness, that functions perfectly from years and years of training and meditation and study and self-inquiry. So the mind is wonderful when I want to focus on something that I have to bring attention to. For example, going from A to B logistically, if I'm going to take a trip, if I'm going to pack for a trip, if I'm going to have to make phone calls and make plans, okay, I have a mind that can do that very easily. I have a mind that has really intense ability to focus. When I'm focused, things can go on anywhere around me and they don't disturb me. Probably because I grew up in a very, very noisy, disruptive environment, and I really learned to focus. So I didn't realize, as I just said, that that was the dissolution of the mind. And so everything that has occurred to me has seemed to be something I discovered somewhat a long time after the fact. And I think many of us are in that same situation because we're not recognizing that the awakening that we have sought for so long is happening all the time, and we're expecting some big phenomena, some tremendous outer change, some big hoop-de-doo, and it's such a natural unfolding. You simply notice that you're entering into a state of incredibly deep peace. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with what's going on around you. You're just not disturbed by things. You have an innate understanding that all is well. Everything is unfolding as it needs to. And you're at peace with whatever's going on. Everything is just fine. And you have a sense of I would say, ever-expanding love. Love that has no reason, no season, no ups and downs, no special this or special that. You find that you love everyone with all your heart. You don't want anything from them. You don't need anything from them. You're not expecting anything from them. Love is simply present. And that's the state this body-mind consciousness that's speaking has been in now for some years. And so one is speaking out of a level of experience that came so naturally, so unphenomenally. And it comes only when you take the time to look and validate your own direct state. What state are you in right now? God, Spirit, is 100% present now. So when you are 100% present now, you are in Spirit. You are in God. Now, most people are in the mind. Why? Because they are moving in a way in which they feel they will be able to experience pleasure. The mind is seeking those experiences that have given us pleasure and is always trying to repeat them. And naturally avoid those experiences that were not pleasurable. But consider this, if you will. This is the key. All experience is temporal. Temporal means temporary. because it's in temples or time. All experience has a beginning and an ending. And I find many people are caught up in that mind's tendency to seek out, either to repeat the experience they had that was so pleasurable, that high, whatever it was, or to seek out new ways to produce even more of that pleasure. And this is where Sai Baba speaks of the mind as a bundle of desires. And while he says it's probably impossible for most people to avoid all desires, we can put a ceiling on our desires so that we allow them a certain avenue of expression and no more and no less. But the greatest desire is to merge with the divine. It's that, I would say, that homing instinct that drives us spiritually so that everything in time that we experience leaves us unfulfilled. Everything. Everything that we experience has a point where it's no longer pleasurable, it becomes uncomfortable. Like when you eat too much or drink too much or have too much sensual indulgence, it becomes painful and makes you sick and disgusted at some point. And that's good because it keeps throwing you back. There's got to be that which is Paramananda, that supreme bliss. And what I discovered as the reality of this consciousness that's speaking is that it's Paramananda. It's grounded in Paramananda, an ever-expanding bliss. Again, bliss is not a whoop-de-doo euphoric high. Bliss is just a quiet presence that's completely full and fulfilled. So this seminar may provide for some of you the missing keys to freeing yourself from areas where you felt stuck, dry, bored, frustrated, and just don't know what to do about it. So in my observation, there seems to be this attempt to hold on to or repeat these peak experiences. And as we've all noticed, that's about as futile as trying to grasp and maintain a passing wave. So our experience is always couched between a beginning and an ending. And therefore it's related to time. And whatever has a beginning and an ending exists in time and is born of the mind. Because the perception of time exists only in a small portion that interprets the sequencing of events and thoughts within the brain. So when you leave the physical body and move above the sense of bodiness, whether you've passed over in what's called a transition to the afterlife or the next dimension, or you're practicing soul awareness and you've lifted your mind above the thought band, or you, in some other way, transcend the body, which you do every time you go into deep meditation, spiritual exercises, altered states of consciousness, hypnotism, anesthetics, whatever. When you get out of that brain, you're always in timelessness. You're always in timelessness. Just be aware of that. So that established that experience is always in time. It always has a beginning and an ending. And trying to repeat an experience is futile because it's past. It's like, again, trying to grab a wave that's already, you know, past. It's gone. Also, you live in a highly volatile and pregnant with potentiality quantum field of energy. that your attention causes to take form. So again, where are you going to find that experience in that quantum field? In highest truth, every experience is yours, no matter when it took place. Why? Because there's only one here. Let's say we're all ice cream, okay? We're all sweet, we're all cool. But we're each a different flavor. That's part of that mystery. We're each a different flavor. So we need to find that flavor that we are and then get to the point integrated with that higher level of our knowing and our being and our grounded state of omnipresence to where we realize we're all the flavors. We're all the flavors. So whatever has a beginning and an ending is obviously not eternal, and by spiritual and Vedic definition is thus unreal. It's only temporarily an appearance that will pass, and we will move beyond that as we awaken. Now, each time you go within yourself and shine the light of your vigil, your inner vigil, your inner watcher, your inner witnessing self, every time you do that, when you draw forward that higher divine awareness, you begin to dissolve that illusory field that we call the mind. We begin to dissolve those levels where we're stuck and attached. We begin to let them flow through and not stick to us. So one of the easiest ways that I've found to ground yourself in being is simply this. Take a deep breath and drop your awareness into the energy inside this shell that you call your physical definition. And let your attention flow to wherever you can feel the life coursing through that body. That inner energy of coursing life force. Generally, you can feel it most readily in your feet or your hands, which have the most nerve endings. But practice this until you get a sense of the inner energy as a whole. And for one or two or more of your meditation practices, focus your intention entirely on that energy. And begin to practice expanding it beyond the confines of the physical. Begin to identify that as yourself. Begin to create a real sense of your existence as that energy composite. You'll notice that energy composite also has a firm sense of identity. It's that part that knows I am. I exist. So you are that present awareness of existence itself, or being. And this energy, make it more and more real, more and more solid, more and more your anchoring point. Be present fully in your body, otherwise you can't sense the energy within it. You have to get here. Show up, arrive. And now begin to be aware, if you're more conscious when you're out of the body. Some of us have been trained for years, like myself. I'm quite aware when I'm out of the body, when I'm soul traveling or moving the awareness to different vantage points, let's say. different perspectives or viewpoints. That would be a better definition of what we call soul travel. It's taking different points of view multidimensionally. And you'll find that that identity holds constant and you don't lose a sense of yourself. That's what we want to get to. So that you import that sense of being, whether you're in a body or out of the body, okay? That creates an identity for you that is grounded at all times. You can anchor yourself there, because you can't anchor yourself in a thought. You're not going to have a brain and thoughts when you leave the body, right? You're going to have awareness. You're going to have awareness. And now we're going to give you some keys on how to develop that awareness more. Because again, most people go around sound asleep. They're not really aware of their body, their environment, or anything going on around them, and they think that's spiritual. It's not. To ascend, you actually have to descend fully. You got to get down here. And yet, when we say down here, we simply mean you have to be present here and now. Now, right now, your attention, your soul force, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, is scattered. It's scattered throughout your nervous system. It's drawn out through attachment to pleasure and avoidance of pain and experience and all of that through your various sensory organs. But in most cases, that energy has not been drawn up to and collected into the soul center, which is in the center of your head, called the tisratil, or the third eye, or the tenth door. You have to draw all of your prana, all of your energies, up, 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 and refocus it deep in the center of your skull, in the soul center. Only then can you say that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That is the place of salvation, that place of at-one-ment, which we also call soul awareness, soul consciousness, we could call it Savikalpa Samadhi, which is the state when you still are aware of yourself and the greater divine self. There's still a little bit of separation there, but we could call it Christ consciousness, where the Christ or the Son of God is aware of the Father. And that's a comfortable place for you to park your awareness, because from there you see you're karma free. And if you can maintain that focus, then you don't reincarnate again. All of the chakras beneath the brow chakra will lead you back into karma and reincarnation, or sin is the term for negative karma when you are using biblical terms. So the idea is to keep bringing your attention, your thoughts, back to that soul center. But I find that many of us are getting drawn out into the environment through the senses, and in many cases, because we live in a very disruptive, distractive, and noisy world, through irritation. Which, again, when you build an irritation, you're creating karma for yourself. Because if you dislike something, then of course you're going to have to learn to overcome that dislike. So, let's use the senses now. I find that I have done this automatically since I was a little child. And again, I totally didn't realize that it was a spiritual practice. See, I came in from the last four lives as a yogi, so I came in awake. I didn't have to go through that seeking process that most people have to go through. And I think, really, my purpose in this life is simply to share these things with people, because here I am in a Western body, and I certainly haven't, you know, been a monastic in this lifetime. I've been married and have children, a very rich and exciting and adventuresome life as a performer and a person who's traveled all over the world. So it's not, you know, I haven't lived under a rock. But all of this experience, you see, is coming out now to be shared, along with the keys, to help more and more of myself, because I consider each of you one of my own incarnations, you know, to get all of me home. So this is so simple. Oh my gosh, it's so simple. We're already able to do this. We just need to realize that it's a very powerful spiritual key. We're going to use sensors and sensory intake now to transcend into that which is beyond the senses. We're going to use the senses to transcend beyond the senses, or we could say the attachment to the way we have been using the senses. And here's how we can do it. To develop present moment awareness, and these are, of course, things that you will be doing if you choose to, other than right now, but just, you know, have these as informational keys, and then you practice them if you want to. To develop present moment awareness, be aware of every sound right now going on in your environment, and turn your full attention completely upon being present and listening. And I often remind myself when there's something very irritating of this statement from the Course in Miracles: all sounds but echo the voice for God. So you accept all of those sounds without resentment or irritation or reaction, and listen intensely to each one, and see if you can hear the primordial om or the hue in those sounds. And you may find, as I have, that when you are listening 100% to the present sounds in your immediate physical environment, you suddenly become aware of the inner sounds of the sound current, so that you can hear the inner sound current and the outer sounds at the same time, as I am right now as I'm speaking to you. I'm also aware, as I'm sitting here doing this radio show, of the inner sounds, the outer sounds outside, and in my immediate environment. And I'm also aware of all the energy in my body at the same time. And this is just cultivating an expanded sense of awareness of present being. I'm grounded in that, you see. So carefully be aware of each sensory perception. And you'll notice, you know, when you're fully listening, there's no mind. You have completely stilled your mind. There's no thoughts. Just be aware of that. Observe. When you're fully present, there's no mind. You see, to have thoughts, you have to step out of present moment awareness. That's another key. When you're not fully present with here and now, your mind is off. And you're not where your body is, you're where your mind is. Sai Baba would bring that up all the time when we would sit with him. That your body's here with me, but your mind is off in California. Which was true for me at the time. Well, no, not when I was in Baba's immediate presence. But later on, when I was in the ashram and I was longing for a piece of chocolate or some other nonsense thing, But keep bringing your attention to present moment and what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, do it 100%. You know, there is absolutely no reason to think. What are you going to think about? If you need to do something, it's present and you do it. You don't have to think about it. Make a list. Very interesting. You know, we waste so much of our shakti, our power, wool gathering. And you know, that's what gives your headaches. That's what makes your dog tired at night. You're not physically tired. You're just tired of your thoughts. So if you have a hard time going to sleep, practice listening. Put your full attention on listening. Oh, if you could be out in nature where you can hear the crickets and the bullfrogs and all of that, that would be marvelous. But maybe you're in an apartment and you can listen to the traffic outside or the neighbors fighting. It doesn't matter, you see, or in my case, that we've got a neighborhood chorus of dogs. You know, it's rare that, you know, there's not dogs barking all the time. Oh, and now there's a young man that has a hot rod without a muffler that seems to enjoy going racing up and down our street about 3:30 in the morning. And so I meditate on that. I fully enter into that sound. And I find now that I'm expecting him to do that every night so I can sleep right through it. It doesn't bother me anymore. Now, the second exercise for you is to begin to notice every little detail that you possibly can wherever you are. If you're in a restaurant or in an apartment building or a business, notice the decor, the color of the walls, the types of plants, the patterns on the carpet, the type of furnishings, the wall decor, the ambience, the feel of the place, the people that are present. Give your full attention to noticing every little detail you possibly can about the objects, the people around you, and do that wherever you happen to be. This is an excellent spiritual exercise to develop present moment awareness and to train your mind to stay present and focused. This will give you the most intensely, wonderfully trained mind. See, most people, they're not present. They don't notice anything going around them, and they're missing the magic and the beauty and the majesty and the divine presence in every single second and every encounter, every experience. You know, you really start to enjoy life when you come present with it. So, you're going to be experiencing your body, the energies of your body, the sensations within your body, but also notice the feeling that you have in your body and the pressure of the things around you. Like, for example, if you're sitting in a chair or lying on the couch or in the bed, try to notice as many sensations of the touch and the feel and the pressure on your body as possible. If you have pain, instead of trying to avoid the pain, meditate deeply into the pain and press kisses of love and send love wherever there's pain. Just realize that part of your body is calling for your attention and wants your love. I'm in a lot of physical pain, so that's a good practice for me to do. And I do that. And again, the more you focus on it, the more you dissolve the solidity of whatever that energetic is, and you transcend it, and you find you go beyond the body. It's amazing how when you're fully present, you're transcended at the same time. It's an amazing thing that I've discovered, and I think probably you will too. So be very sensitive to the environment around you. One of the practices that the masters used to do would be to flash a tray of objects before the initiate and then have them recall the number and the color and the size and the types of objects that were on that tray. But you can do that by opening your eyes and visualizing something intensely and then closing your eyes and recreating it in your mind. This is very, very powerful yogic and Tibetan techniques that I'm sharing with you in very simple terms that you can apply in your everyday life without heading off to the Himalayas or some other place. You don't have to leave your home to become a fully awakened and enlightened and God-realized person. I find that as an ex-dancer and circus performer, I'm intensely aware of my body kinesthetically. I'm aware of it all the time, the balance, the relationship to time, space, and locational positioning, like if you're dancing in a troupe, you know, you're very, very aware of other people around you and your spatial relationship. And anyone who's been trained in a physical skill, whether it's the martial arts or dancing or circus performing or an athlete, usually has a finely developed sense of their body and how it's functioning as a whole. And try to cultivate that awareness if you've had no physical training of any kind. Try to be aware as you move through time-space, the placement of your feet, the relationship of yourself to the objects around you. Pay attention. When you're walking, walk. You know, whatever you're doing, be with that. When you're with someone, be with that person. Again, practice 100% full attention to that person. You will notice as you do that when you're listening to a person speaking, you are not in your ego. Be aware that you've transcended your ego when you're listening 100% to another person speak. If you're just waiting for an interlude so that you can give your one-upmanship story or correct them or disagree with what they've said or take issue or whatever, you're in your ego, you're in the mind, you're in karma, not good karma. So pay attention, be present 100% with your process, whatever you're doing. If you're eating, turn off the media and eat. Put full attention on your food. You know you'll never overeat if you do that. People become gluttonous because they want the experience of the pleasure of eating, but they're so busy looking at the next piece of pie or the next round on the buffet table that they're not present with the food that's in their mouth. They're gulping it down. They're unconscious, and therefore they gain weight. So if you want to lose weight, stay present with your food. Stay present. Enjoy it. Same thing when you're doing anything. Whatever it is, put your full attention to it. Your boss will love it because you'll be next in line for that raise or that promotion. So next, be aware that everything has a scent. So interesting. Everything has a scent. Develop your sense of smell to where you can mock up any object and recall its scent immediately. For example, the cat laying over there in the other side of the room. Can you smell the cat? We've all probably smelled puppy breath. Can you recall the smell of puppy breath? Or wet dog? Or what about that bowl of fruit over there on the table? Can you smell inwardly the apple, the orange, the lemon, the banana, bunch of grapes? And what do you smell in your immediate environment? Like my rooms usually have a scent of incense, which I can't smell anymore because I've burned so much incense, my body's used to it. So after a while, you adjust, you know, to the scent in your immediate home. But you'll notice that when you go into restaurants or other people's homes or different environments, each person and each place and every animal and insect and creature has its own smell. And one of the things I enjoy doing, again, not realizing it was a spiritual practice, I like to recall the smells of different things. Fresh mown hay, coffee brewing in the morning, the smell of rain, the smell of India. India has the most marvelous smell. It's a combination of many spices, cow dung, ancientness. I don't know how else to describe it. It's got like an ancient smell to it. And, oh gosh, you know, the minute I talk about it, I'm there. So it's amazing how scents can evoke ingrained memory of experiences you've had. I think we're all aware of that. We all remember the scent of our mother's perfume or our dad's shaving lotion or maybe the smell or the scent that our lover wears or wore, the smell of our baby. You know, we mothers all like to smell the heads of our children, don't we? Or our lover. We love the scent of our beloveds. So pay attention and use that, again, to draw you to God. I had a friend who used to be able to smell Jesus. And she'd go around sniffing the air. She said, "I smell Jesus." And I said, "What does he smell like?" She said, "He smells like rain." So I said that. "He smells like rain." Well, I was with Jesus, but I don't remember smelling him. So I'll have to pay more attention to that. But just be aware of the smell of the atmosphere. And when you're with a great soul has a fragrance about them, like Sai Baba. He always smells like vibhuti or jasmine. Mother Mary has the scent of roses. Master Moria is said to have the scent of sandalwood. And so on. You know, different masters and holy beings will have their particular scent. And also, negative entities have a bad smell. So if you smell a stench in your environment, sometimes like sulfur or rotten eggs, know that that's a negative entity and banish them in the name of Christ and put the light with them so they, you know, go take their stink someplace else. So I think I'm giving you the idea here of using your senses to draw you beyond the sensual state. Now, be aware that every one of your five senses has a higher, more subtle corollary. In fact, in the Alice Bailey books, they give a whole lineup of the senses. I think I've shared that before in other seminars. In fact, I know I have. But your senses become finely tuned, refined states of awareness on the inner planes. So we're not doing something here that doesn't have an application on a higher level. Just be aware of that. Now, food and tasting. Again, another exercise is to recall the taste of different things. And this is something that you're really familiar with. And every one of us has done this, is to imagine what something tastes like when we're reading the menu, right? We all do that. And when we're reading the menu, we're fully focused, usually, on what we want to eat, and we're imagining in our mind what it's going to taste like, especially if we're familiar with that particular restaurant. So these are exercises for you to use your senses to enrich your present moment awareness wherever you are. So that you, when you're really in that state of inner practicing inner awareness, that witnessing awareness that is actually the divine self looking through your eyes, listening through your ears, touching through your sensory organs, that's the one that's doing the experiencing of your life. That's you. That's you as that witnessing presence, that unique unit of consciousness and energy that you're learning to ground your awareness in. That's right, with you and in you and as you all the time. And you never lose it. Now, for those of you who have contacted me and said that you feel well, some of you want to travel, you want to move, you're seeking an experience, and you're not finding it where you are, and the situation is such that you can't travel, you can't move, you're kind of where you are until you're not. What you're doing, you're getting caught up in your past experiences and you're trying to repeat them, and that's not working for you. So try some of these things that I suggested to make your present moment very enriched. Very enriched, okay? Enrich and nourish your awareness where you're planted. Whatever environment you're in, you can make it your laboratory of self-inquiry. You can make it your ashram. You can make it your training center. And make these ordinary everyday things work for you. When you're watching TV, something I do all the time, periodically I'll draw myself back into myself and remind myself that I'm simply watching a drama. It's not real. It's simply a projection of the mind. And sometimes you're watching a really, really good movie and really sucked into it. And I'll use those times to draw myself back into myself and remind myself of who I am and what I am forever. So we keep bringing our attention back to that Sat-Chit-Ananda, that being, that awareness, that bliss that is our true self. Bliss is a wonderful ongoing state of all-encompassing love. The experience of love is so great that you feel like you're everywhere and your heart is just bursting. It's a combination of ecstasy and peace and love that's couched in deep, deep stillness. It's like the self is so still, no thoughts rise. One is just present. Just present. And if the body would come or go or the world would vanish or whatever, which it does repeatedly for me, I'll sit here, you know, and I'll raise my vibrations to a certain state. And the world starts to get, you know, the world, which is my room, my sanctuary, starts to dissolve into light. Gets kind of misty, and then it dissolves. And then I bring my vibration a little bit lower, and it appears again. And so the mind is not an evil thing. It's your greatest tool when you have mastered it and caused it to be subservient to the spirit. When it's subservient to the spirit, then the mind is a wonderful tool because it no longer distracts you. I love my mind. My mind is one of my favorite instruments because it's so focused and so steady and so dependable. I can use it like a fine-honed laser beam to pierce through illusion and to discern energy and to discern the different modulations of the sound current and the divine light patterns as I move inwardly. Now, when you're focused in the soul, when you're in the soul center, when you're just starting to make that contact, you'll see flashes of light. For me, they appeared as concentric rings of light. They would flash. And the yogis say that's when the power of the soul is beginning to really start to center and manifest in that third eye center. But then, when you're really focused there, you will see a blue ring with a golden center. That's your third eye. That's the opening of the third eye. And I have found that in my own experience, that in the beginning it would shift from a gold center with a blue ring to a blue center with a gold ring. And now it's just gold. And when you're inside, on the other side, you're in a golden realm, which you call the soul realm, or Satchkhand, the land of truth, or Satya Desh, which again is the term for the land of truth. And so, just keep bringing your awareness back, here and now, keep bringing your mind back, present, here and now, because, beloved, there's no place to go, okay? You're here now. This is it, eternally, forever. There's no going up in the sky somewhere. That's somebody's imagination. There's no, whatever the metaphors they use for escaping the earth. No, you dissolve the illusion of confinement, the illusion of differentiation and separation, until you live grounded in a field of deepest love and peace and your home. And that's present in you all the time. It doesn't go away. It's there. It's there this moment in every one of you. You've simply become attached to the distractions of moving away from present moment awareness into there and then or someday in the future. So rein those thoughts back. Make them serve the Christ that you are. Make them serve your spiritual life and its enhancement and its enrichment. And know that if you can't move out of your environment, you're not supposed to. You know, as you get older, you're supposed to quit running around like a racehorse, as Baba would say, and begin to turn within. So that when you transition, you can be a whole being, a whole light being, and not a karmic field of distractive thoughts that will bring you back into another incarnation. Stay in the soul. Stay in soul awareness. Speak from that. Live from that. And bring your expression in line with that. And keep waking yourself up where you fall asleep. Keep waking yourself up, bringing yourself present, here and now. And you'll find the peace and bliss of God is right there. And you'll find that you're fully grounded in present being. And that, beloved, is bliss. Paramananda. So I hope this has been helpful. This is loaded with wonderful keys that you can make notes and practice. And let me know how you're doing with it. That's always appreciated. So, let's raise our hands and send our love and our light and peace to all beings and all the worlds, to all the kingdoms of nature, to all of humanity. May all have good health. May all have peace. May all be happy. May all enjoy supreme awakening to the beautiful divine being that they are, which is omnipresent love. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting three Anai Hues. Deep breath. Anai Hues. Ah. blessings and grace and all our love to each one of you. Namaste.